I'm speaking with Carrie Ann Deer, who works with the Quebec Native Women's Association. She's a member of the Ganawagi community and a concerned community member who has been raising awareness about the case of Tiffany Morrison. Carrie Ann, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Carrie Ann, you're involved in the organization and raising awareness of the vigil that's taking place this June 18th, 2009, on the third anniversary of Tiffany's disappearance. As a member of the community, can you talk to us more about this vigil? Why is it taking place? Why are you organizing this event?
I guess the first thing that hit me was how the outside of the community rally together when a child is missing. And I didn't see that happening when Tiffany Morrison went missing 3 years ago. She's a 24-year-old at the time that she went missing, mother of a young child. And the fact that she just went missing, this is the first incident of this in our community. And so everybody, I think, was in shock, and nobody really knew what to do about it. So I wanted to get involved 3 years ago, and I sort of approached Tiffany's sister, but the family, I think, was at a loss for what to do. There wasn't really, there's no set up, there's no support set up system for something like this within the community. And so I think, like a lot of other people, I felt, what can I do? And now, coming on the third year anniversary, the family's ready to do something, to raise awareness, to say, hey, what's going on? You know, it's been 3 years now. Something in this case has to change. We need to revive the case. And so I thought, this is the perfect opportunity to get involved, to stop feeling like I'm stuck and I don't know what to do. So I offered to help the family organize this memorial walk and candlelight vigil, and bring about the awareness that there exists already in the outside world. In the community of Ganawagi, we have sort of this false sense of security, whereas the things that happen on the outside don't happen here. But now we're seeing that things like crime and gangs and missing and murdered women are happening here in our own community, and it's time that we need people to come out and say, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. We need to have support systems in place for incidences like this, and we also need to rally together and support this family that's going through a tremendous amount of pain, because not only is this woman missing, there's no answers, nobody really knows what happened, there's no closure. Is she off somewhere? Is she being abused somewhere? Is she murdered? There's no answers. And that leaves so many open doors and so much confusion that it's almost more painful than having a murder in the family.
Carrie Ann, could you speak a bit about the larger context in which this vigil is happening? And that is a larger campaign to talk about and raise awareness about the more than 500 missing, murdered, and disappeared Indigenous women across Canada. This is a stunning statistic. It's a reflection of many things, of sexism, of racism, of the legacy of the dispossession of Native peoples. It's also a reflection of sort of the apartheid in Canada. If any similar number, equivalent number of people in any other community had gone missing like that over a period of a few decades, there'd be major outrage.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that doesn't seem to happen in this case. So can you speak a bit about this vigil and the campaign to support Tiffany Morrison's family and to find justice in this case in the context of the larger campaign for missing, murdered, and disappeared women?
I think the biggest issue that the Native communities are coming in contact with when they have a person in their family missing is jurisdictional issues, because the provincial police or the RCMP do not have jurisdiction in the communities, and then the community, the local police, do not have jurisdiction outside of the community. So in the instance of Tiffany Morrison's disappearance, there was some information that could have been gathered from a taxi company that's in our neighboring community of LaSalle. But the peacekeepers here in Ganawage cannot do investigations outside of the community without the permission and without the support of the outside bodies. And that seems to be very difficult. There's political issues that are underlining. There's ulterior motives, and there's prejudices, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that creates the biggest boundary for when it comes to investigating these particular crimes. So there's a whole mess of potential evidence that could have been gathered from the taxi that she took, that Tiffany Morrison took, leaving her last known whereabouts, that will never be found, that has never been investigated, because taxi companies that work outside of the community shut off their meters and don't report to dispatch when they are making drop-offs within Ganawage. It's kind of like a no-fly zone, for lack of a better term. And so this, again, is another great source of frustration. On a global perspective, or a national perspective, more specifically, is that there's not really a lot of worth and value put into the women who have gone missing. There's so many stereotypes and so many prejudices that come into play. Oh, that person's a prostitute. That person is an alcoholic. They probably just got drunk and ran off, or they probably just took off. But these are women who have ties to their community, who have family ties, who maybe have children. But the policing bodies and the investigators are not listening to what the family is saying. They're making their judgments, and they're passing off prejudices as factual information. Just because the woman was a prostitute does not make her unworthy of being investigated. This is what happened with the cases in out west with Picton. These women were not being investigated because they were prostitutes or because they had ties with that community. Issues with addiction, what have you, they're labeled as disposable. And I think this is really where the danger lies.
Carrie Ann, to conclude, can you tell our listeners about the vigil, when it's taking place, where it's taking place?
It'll be taking place in the community of Ganawage. We have a central location, which is by the K103 radio station. On the grounds is the rally point. It starts at 8 p.m. There will be buses available at Angry Elm Metro starting at 7 p.m. We'll probably be asking for a $2 fee if you'd like to book passage on this bus. It'll be going to and from the site of the walk and vigil. The departure point at Angry Elm Metro, the bus will be leaving at 7 p.m., and it will be bringing the passengers to the Ganawage site. And then afterwards at 10:30 p.m., the bus will be returning to Angry Elm Metro for those who want to come in from Montreal. We welcome everyone. I would recommend that people arrive earlier because we'll be handing out candles and information. The evening is going to start off with a welcoming, and then we'll have we'll do the walk and the vigil, and then there'll be some speakers afterwards and some special guest performances afterwards. So the more the merrier. Come on down and get some information about what's going on right in your backyard.
Carrie Ann, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on NOAA's Legal Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.